This is a production of Cornell University.
Questions about the county committee?
Question for you. Based on the forums, I haven't looked at any of the online comments, but are there certain things that seem to come to the forefront at the in-person forums, or is it just a wide range of questions?
Well, thank you for that. I think there's lots more to come. Clearly, there's a lot to unpack. I encourage you all to look online at the comments, and we can see what the Academic Calendar Committee is doing. And thank the both of you and Hazel for stepping up and really taking this project on and hosting the forums and putting out the communications. That was very helpful. So thanks for that. Next, University Assembly update. Kitchen Cruiser. Jeremy and Kevin throwing you under the bus for this one. Jeremy, update.
So the UAE, in our last meeting, spent a lot of time on updating mostly internal documents. We did pass support for the exit plan, which is awesome. There was introduced a resolution for amplified sound on campus, which was a
clarify that that amplified sound feature is a lot more to it. There's a code of conduct amendment on time, place, and manner for protesting on campus, demonstrating. Yeah. Great. Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. For the folks that are online, could we ask everybody to really speak up? They're having a hard time hearing.
Oh, those of you, yeah. Everybody, please amplify as best you can so that the folks who are online can hear you. Is that better, Carrie? Oh no, you're never a pain.
Hi, Carrie.
Glad you're participating. This is better. Okay, so next is a report from the chair. Very brief, just so you know, as is written at the bottom of your agendas, at our next meeting on December 21st, Provost Michael Kotlikoff and VP Lombardi will be here to discuss the housing master plan that they've been introducing to each of the other assemblies. We were left off of that initial circuit of presentations, but thanks to Jeremy making it very clear, Jeremy and Kevin making it very clear at the UA meeting that we needed to be heard. They're coming and presenting that to us. So this is really what their plan for building additional housing on North Campus. If you attended the transportation forum and you had a lot to say about parking, you might want to pay very close attention to this because the CC lot is going away if that is the case. There are some additional things about staffing and that should probably be taken into consideration. So stay tuned and encourage your constituent groups when that notification comes out to please do attend this meeting if they do have questions, since we're not soliciting things in advance. And then, of course, today, no matter where we are on our agenda, in the middle of debate, discussion on any agenda or on any item on the agenda, at 1:15 we'll be doing a hard stop to go into executive session to elect our two positions that are up for grabs on the executive board, one that will be vacated very shortly by our lovely executive vice chair, BJC Asoko, who is going to cease to be an employee, but will still be here as a graduate student. Rude.
I'm paying for you now, as opposed to you helping.
I guess. So we'll be entertaining that as well as our vice chair of communications. So those two positions are what are for grabs, and we'll be electing those at 1:15. Questions? None? Seeing none, we're going to move right into business of the day. First resolution on the agenda is Resolution 4, Cornell Commitment to Web Accessibility. It was introduced at our maybe two meetings ago, not at our Transportation Forum, two meetings ago. You've had some time. I saw some chatter earlier today, but I'm going to turn it over to Jeremy and have our ADA coordinator team here also to give some input. So if at any point you have a question or anything, just please raise your hand. Please feel free, anybody, to speak freely. And speak up, project for folks.
Projecting. So I wish I could print out more copies of the edited version because I have some additions and changes that I've been working on, but this is a work in progress. The copy that you see in your packet is the original version as it was presented two meetings ago. It has changed relatively significantly, so we'll want to get a review of that as well. As I presented this before, the purpose of this is to set a starting place for Cornell to begin to work towards a more accessible web presence. And I think I presented last time pretty thoroughly, but if anybody has any specific questions, do that.
So to make clear, this is business of the day, so all the items on our agenda actually are business of the day since they've been introduced previously, which means they are open for debate, discussion, motions, et cetera, and ultimately a vote if you do so choose to make that motion. Your amendments, any changes that you have, can be made as formal amendments, and we can entertain those individually.
Would you let me just start there?
Yes, that would be
good. Okay. Is your edited one in the box?
It is on box.
Okay, we're going to put it up on the screen.
Oh, perfect.
While they're doing that, could you, so I briefly read through kind of the conversation I saw online between you and Carrie. Could you bring up some of those, just kind of like highlights for that, for the benefit of folks that weren't able to read through that?
Or maybe Carrie, if you. If
oh, yeah.
Actually a really well thought out email. I brought up some really good
Carrie, would you want to share some of the thoughts you sent over the list earlier about the resolution? Version. Mm-hmm. That's fine. They're working on putting it up. We were just trying to. Yeah. Other thoughts? They're working to put it up. In the meantime, other thoughts, comments, questions? Or we're just going to wait until.
I would like to add that I have been meeting with several different groups of campus, both through email and in person. I've had the opportunity to sit down with CIO Security CIT, where I was getting quite a lot of good feedback and support. I met with the director of tech and web development at CIT, and all of her folks have been trained in 508 compliance. And when they put out websites, they are, at least initially, in conformance with the standard. So there isn't really any follow-up after that to ensure that they stay that way once the content devices get a hold of them. So we've already got a lot of basis here, and I would like to address one concern that does seem to come up regularly, which is the concern about resources and staffing to make this possible. And I will tell you that when I approached this resolution, I approached it with eyes wide open about what our current staffing is, which is why I designed the resolution quote specifically the way I did, which is we are looking to address only newly created sites on the Cornell.edu domain, and sites, legacy sites, once they are made significant changes. So when you're going to redesign a legacy site, you should redesign it with these standards in mind.
Right. So the current changes or the current latest version is up on the screen now for people, and we can go through and read the amendments in a quick second. Kevin, did you have a question? Thought?
Yeah, just more of a comment. Is that the environmental health and safety, we do online training, and I think we're roughly, I want to say about 1,000 trainings that we do. Some are required for laboratories and stuff like that. We've talked about this Section 508 standard, and some of the stuff that we use for these trainings, you can't do it. So the question is, and I haven't read it really hard, is are we saying here to strive for that, or are we saying we will do it?
That's a good question, and I also want to think one of the misunderstandings about the objective, and there's two pieces to that, really. One is, when you say that it's not possible, that I'm interested in what situation that is and how we can address it, because there might be technical solutions. The other is, when looking at conformance with standards, we are not talking about absolutely every piece must always comply at all times. That doesn't happen even in the sites that are regulated under the 508 standards. What they strive for is maximum conformance. And looking at one of the examples that I use regularly is the Health and Human Services site, which does a lot of federal health and human services site, which does a lot with Section 508 and has to provide some training on the site. And one of the things that they do is they provide leaderboards. They do monthly scans rather than annual scans, like I'm proposing. And what their standards are anything 90% conform, rated 90% conformance above is rated as excellent. Anything rated 75% to 90% conformance with the tool that they're using is something to look at in needs improvement. And anything below that isn't required for remediation. So what they're looking at is getting as close to conformance as possible, striving for if there is a case where it truly is just not possible, then we need to first show that there really is impossible, there is impossible, and then apply for an exemption from the policy.
Right. So what we're going to do now, since you have so many amendments, is we're going to go up and entertain those amendments by clause or by section. And once we hear all those amendments, we'll consider the resolution as a whole. It'll be easier. So if you could start at the whereas clause, because the abstract is not actually part of the resolution itself, but more for the website. So the first amendment that you have is inserting in line 5. Did I see whereas section? I can't read that from a distance.
So it's whereas section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 states, quote, no otherwise qualified individual with a disability in the United States shall be excluded from the participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any program or activity receiving federal financial assistance or under any program or activity conducted by any executive agency.
So I'm considering that. Oh, I realize I just missed the clause, but at the first whereas clause. Sorry about that. We'll go back. But for lines 5 through 8, there's a motion to amend.
15
through 18.
I'm sorry?
It's 15 through 18. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't see that. You're right. It is 15 through 18. Sorry. There we go. Yeah. It's 15 through 18. There's been a motion to amend. Is there a second on this amendment? It's been seconded. The amendment is on the floor. Into discussion on the amendment. You can do discussion or motions at this time. There's been a call to question. Are we in favor of adopting this by unanimous consent? Is there any dissent to that? Seeing none, it is adopted by unanimous consent. On to lines 5 through. Sorry, BJ, go back up. I missed that first. Not that one. Whereas clause.
Okay, this whereas clause?
Yes, 8 through 10.
Lines 8 through 10, and I'll just read it with the edit. So whereas worldwide there are 285 million people with, and it's striking some, sort, and of, so striking those three words, visual impairment, 275 million people with moderate to profound speech, profound hearing impairment, and many more, striking have, and adding with, speech, physical, speech, cognitive, striking and, neurological disabilities, or a limited understanding of English. So those are the edits there in red.
There's been a motion to amend. Is there a second? It's been seconded. The amendment is on the floor. Is there any dissent to adopting this amendment by unanimous consent? Seeing none, the amendment is approved. Now you can move down.
Roll away.
I know it sucks. Parliamentary procedure, folks. What is that, just striking and? Oh, sorry, yeah, that might have been my bad.
Okay, so I think be it therefore resolved in the first one.
Yes, let's do that.
So let me read this again. This is line 46, for those of you who can't see the screen. Be it therefore resolved, the university, the divisions of University Relations, Cornell Information Technologies, and Human Resources, by August 1st, 2017, will set, publish, and disseminate to all levels of university personnel an accessibility policy for all websites on the cornell.edu domain, which will. And so again, I just read that as it would be written, so mm-hmm. There would be an addition of this part in red, striking and, adding this part, striking and accessibility there. So reading the first number there, set a baseline standard to meet either section 508 or WCAG 2.0 AA standards. Number 2, require all newly created sites to meet these standards. Number 3, require all legacy sites to be remediated for conformance upon any major update. And I believe it's adding number 4, using the model for IT security exemptions, provide a process for exemption of sites for which conformance would impose an undue burden. So that would be this clause as reentered.
There's been a motion to amend this be it therefore resolved clause. Is there a second? It has been seconded. The amendment is on the floor. Is there any dissent to adopting this by unanimous consent? The amendment, yes.
Point of information.
Mm-hmm.
Is August 2017 something that can be reached in what you're saying there?
I believe it can. Whether or not the president believes that it can be reached is another matter. But I think that's a reasonable goal for setting a policy.
And I guess I would add too, I like the idea of just having like a year date, because at least if we don't get there, at least we know in a year we just have an update of where we might be.
Yeah, but you're not a year.
Please, go ahead. Sure. If I could interject, just to clarify, Kara. So the reason I remember reading that, and I was telling Jeremy earlier today, the reason I wouldn't put those the EPRG or PAG into the resolution itself is because what we're saying by putting the three divisions in is that those would be the executive. I'm sorry, those would be the executive sponsors of the policy, not that they would necessarily be the ones who had to physically write and do it. But every policy needs an executive sponsor to go through and a responsible office. It would, by default, go through the policy process, and Andrea has been through that already with the previous policy. So it would already follow that process. It doesn't necessarily need to be absolutely spelled out in that resolution itself. It's saying these are the three divisions that need to come together and sponsor that resolution itself. If you were to say, should we add infrastructure, properties, and planning to this, or student and campus life to it, or should it be a different division? That would be a different question. So,
and also, just to add, if it helps ease your mind at all, I have a really great policy from the University of Colorado as a template to work from.
That's great.
No. Is that Tanya?
I would also just say on the policy piece, I know that there's been a lot of companies and whatnot that we have too many policies, mm-hmm. and they're trying to reduce the number of policies. So, I'm feeling that I think a similar anxious area about the notion of policy versus, a standard.
I want to remind
Andrea, would, not to put you on the spot, but would either of you like to speak to the policy process or what you went through the last time? Because this went through a draft previously already. Somebody on the. Carrie, did you have something else to add? Successful and to make this a really powerful BJ, and then we're going to move back to discussion on the amendment. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was going to say, because we're focusing on this amendment right now, I'm hearing two things from Terry and Jeremy, and I think they both kind of answer this. So I think, yeah, there should be some kind of a staff person. It sounds like this is a lot. So maybe a resolution, I was going to say an amendment to this, but it sounds like Jeremy is going to do a subsequent resolution to focus on that. So I would say I'd move to close this discussion and vote on this plus.
There's been a call to question on the amendment itself. Is there a second to that motion? And let me clarify. To approve the amendment just puts it into the resolution so that that will be considered as part of the entire resolution. You may still amend what the text that is now that you insert in the resolution, just to be clear. This is not the final thing. So is there a second to BJ's motion? There. Oh, I was going to say there is no second. The motion has been seconded. Is there any dissent? There's dissent. Seeing that there's dissent, we are going to vote to vote. You need a two-thirds majority to close discussion and vote on the amendment itself. All those in favor of closing discussion and voting on the amendment, not the resolution, the amendment, please raise your placard. If you wish to close discussion, raise your, yes. Oh, sorry. I was like, what? One, two. Yes, before we vote, I'm going to be clear, parliamentary procedure. We are vote, if you vote yes, you are voting to close discussion on this particular amendment, the first be it therefore resolved clause on the screen that BJ read out before. You're closing discussion on that, and we're voting to either put it into the actual text of the resolution or not. If it is approved as an amendment into the resolution, when we consider the entire resolution, you may still amend that text. You may go back and do that. We still haven't put in the stuff that's in red that we haven't read yet in the last finally resolved clause. So basically, without any of these amendments, the only thing we would be considering is the piece you have in your packet, is the version in your packet. So what Jeremy is trying to accomplish is to put the changes that he's made since the last meeting, that for some of the things you discussed, into the resolution to be considered overall. Does that clarify this for everybody? All right. So as of right now, if you wish to close discussion on the amendment, please raise your placard. All those opposed to closing discussion on the amendment. All those who, oh, I'm sorry. Carrie, could you tell me your vote? I know. That was a lot. Abstentions while I do this? Any abstentions? Either way, we have surpassed that two-thirds majority, but I just want to record the vote. While Brian's getting the vote, we won't do a final, but I can tell you, regardless, we passed the two-thirds majority vote needed to close discussion, so we are going to now vote on the amendment. Or I'll say, is there dissent to approving the amendment by unanimous consent? Yes. Seeing none, we are going to actually do a placard vote. All those in favor of the amendment, of putting the amendment into the text, please raise your placard. One, two, three, four.
Sorry, the vote was
to approve the amendment? Yes.
Yes.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. All those opposed? All those who abstain? And then Carrie, do we have a vote? I'm sorry. Carrie, Tammy, Matt. As of right now, the vote total sits at 9-3-0. It needs a simple majority, so it has passed regardless, but. No problem. Carrie, can you let us know your vote for, or did you already type it? I'm sorry. Would you let us know your vote for approving the amendment or not?
Approved.
Yay. Yeah. It's a yay. And your the vote before that, your vote your vote to close discussion and vote on the amendment.
sure.
Matt, guess he's not listening. That's an abstention. Tammy? Okay. So by a vote of 13-2-2, surpasses the two-thirds majority needed, we close discussion. We did go into the vote, and then by a vote of 10-3-2, the amendment is now being considered as part of the resolution, or the text is now being considered as part of the resolution. Going down to the last, be it finally resolved, clause. BJ, would you please? That is the amendment as is proposed, exercising the authority vested in me by the charter and bylaws. For the sake of time, I'm going to call this amendment to question so that you may vote on whether or not to consider it as part of the entire package so we can consider the entire resolution, and then you can make, allowing you to make amendments on all parts as opposed to just little piecemeal places, because it'll be a little complicated. And since we have other guests for other resolutions, I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to talk. And since you didn't get a chance to review this previously, you get the chance to do it. So all those in favor of approving the amendment to put it into the resolution itself, please raise your placard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All those opposed to the amendment putting it into the resolution. All those who abstain. By a vote of 14-0-0, the amendment passes. You are able to now consider the resolution as a whole. Because we have three other items on the agenda to be considered, and we do have people present to hear those items, I'm going to move to table this until the next meeting on December 21st, where everybody has adequate time to review all the amendments and changes, consult with the sponsors and the stakeholders to then make any other proposals, comments, questions, etc. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
It is seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the resolution is tabled until December 21st. I encourage you all to please connect with the sponsor on some of these, because there seems to be some other changes that you might need to make before that meeting. Yes. Okay. And it will be put into box. I'm going to also move to, since Linda Copeman, who actually co-sponsored this resolution, is not able to join us today for the Ithaca plan, I'm going to move that we switch the order of the agenda and consider Resolution 6 next. Is there any dissent to that? Seeing none, we're going to hear Resolution 6. All right. BJ, I'm going to need you. I'm gonna need you now because I have to step down as chair. That's a little complicated.
This is on the text.
Yes, this is all here. This version is correct. So at this moment, I'm going to step down as chair of the meeting and of the assembly so that BJ may take the reins here and lead discussion as I sponsor this.
Cool. So let me turn over. I think this was introduced last meeting, right? So do you want to just give a quick overview and update and
sure.
introduce the guests?
Again, it was introduced last meeting. There are quite a few people I see from the LGBT colleague network group who are here. It was sent out to a few stakeholders. Just the overall premise is written in the abstract of this resolution is to follow up on the resolution that the EA was the first to pass, I'm happy to say, last year, calling for changes to be made in the workday system around preferred name, gender markers, and sexual orientation, allowing people to voluntarily disclose their sexual orientation to collect that data. Again, many changes have been made since then. There's been a lot of progress on the workday front and some on the PeopleSoft front for students, but there still remains a challenge in a lot of employees, sadly, some of their personal data still being showed, meaning their legal name being displayed in places that it should not be displayed, and thus outing a lot of people, particularly those who identify as trans in some way. So the resolution does make some pretty specific requests, which are really just, again, the resolve clause is asking that particular changes be made by particular dates. I do have three amendments that I'm going to ask to, or four actually, that I'm going to ask to make to this resolution, so I'll make those now. My first amendment is to line 31 through 37, which is, I believe, a whereas clause. There's a bit of factual incongruence here. Or actually, it's line 35 for you all. Sorry about that. Line 35 for you all. So it should say, as of July 1, 2016, changes have been made to the Enterprise Directory, the Active Directory, and Workday to allow employees to choose preferred names, preferred pronouns, preferred gender markers, to self-report sexual orientation and gender identity, and to have preferred name displayed on the Cornell ID card, semicolon, and PeopleSoft to allow students to choose a preferred and middle name. So the difference is that PeopleSoft was actually not updated. What you have as an appendix to this resolution are the results of that working group from the registrar's office who was focused on PeopleSoft that wanted to put in those other recommendations that went into effect for Workday into PeopleSoft. Those have not been implemented yet. So that's where it stands. So that's the correction.
So that's the amendment as proposed. Are there any points of discussion on that or any motions to approve that? Is there a second?
Second.
Excellent. Is there any discussion? All right. Would someone like to make a motion to approve this or by unanimous consent? Is there any dissent to approving this by unanimous consent? Awesome. So that's added in there.
Great. All right. The next is line, it was 44 for me, but it is going to be 45 for you all. Line 45 to strike by July 1, 2017.
So that's the amendment as stands. Any discussion about that? All right. Is there a motion to approve that? Is there a second? Thank you. I'm going to move to, again, approve by unanimous consent. Is there any dissent to that? Great. So we'll approve that striking.
And then finally, line 58 to strike by July 1, 2017 and insert, as an ongoing project, the university will take steps to ensure that, and then continue on with any application or function, et cetera.
So that's the amendment, again, striking the date and inserting that text. Any discussion about that? Excellent. Is there a motion to approve that amendment? Kevin, is there a second? Thanks, Pilar. Is there any dissent to approving that by unanimous consent? All right, cool. So that's also inserted in there as well. Thanks, Alyssa. So that's the new with the addition.
I do say I have one more amendment. Sorry about that.
No,
I have one more amendment, and that amendment is, it should actually probably say finally, be it finally resolved, but you can just reorder that. Be it finally resolved that the employee assembly recommends the university to accept the recommendations to the appendix that you have put forth by the Office of the University Registrar's Working Group. I don't remember what the name is. Or there was no name. Preferred name working group. I don't know. But you say the recommendations attached to this resolution.
Kevin, question.
Oh, no, I thought
That's my motion. Okay,
that's my motion.
That's your motion. Okay, is there a second to that motion? Excellent. Is there any dissent to approving by unanimous consent? All right, so that's also inserted in there. And then you had a comment.
No, I moved.
Oh, okay. Is there any...
any people want...
Yeah, is there any discussion about the resolution as amended and as revised?
Including stakeholders. That's open.
No.
I'd ask a question. So you removed dates from several areas, but you didn't remove the date on what's my line 53 be affirmed resolved by January 10, 2017?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just...
Sure. So the discussion that we've been having kind of, I don't want to say behind the scenes, but with the registrar and some other folks is that it might take, because they have not identified all of the downstream systems, it might take some time. And downstream systems being, we have no idea who all the people are who are receiving a lot of the information from PeopleSoft. And it might take a little bit longer to identify those groups, and we don't want to stop an entire project or say that someone is out of compliance if we can't meet that July 1st deadline. So we're just going to say on an ongoing basis, we'll continue to do that. But the January 10th piece is something that can be done tomorrow. And that's endorsed by William Turner, who we've been working with in identity management. He's just waiting on the okay to change that. And that really will, that just means if you go to the Cornell search, it's not going to return somebody's legal name. It'll just return their preferred name if they have one put in. If they don't have one put in, it will return the default legal name.
Cool.
I'm wondering if this could be broadened out to include people who go by their middle name instead of their first name, because that's an absolute nightmare everywhere. My husband happens to go by his middle name, and it was a nightmare when he worked at Cornell. It's a nightmare now. But working at Cornell, it's a problem everywhere. And some people choose to do that, not for gender identity issues, but just because they were juniors or, you know, whatever the case may be. And, you know, I'm wondering if this language could tweak just a little bit so that
right. Actually, what happens is while we're pushing this forward as kind of as for the benefit of the LGBTQ community in particular, the language, the way it's written, it applies to everybody. So you can choose to write your husband can write his preferred name in the preferred name slot if that's what he wants to be called, and if you got a new ID, that's what would display. It's not like you have to tell us whether or not you identify as trans to come get the ID. You can. The registrar lists that as her name. your preferred name is whatever name you decide it to be. So if you choose to take your middle name and say, I want this to be my preferred name, that's what's going to display from now on in the return slot. So it's not specific. It's broad. It's very broad. We're just saying, particularly for trans folks, this is why we're doing it.
Other questions? Tanya?
So the president has 30 days to respond to the resolution, to this resolution himself. If the president says yes or no, it doesn't. I don't say it doesn't matter. it's a project that identity management could move forward with tomorrow. As we said, they've actually just been waiting to whether or not they have an okay or a direction to do it, because what we wanted to do was sync up a communication so that the people who are still getting information from, and by people I mean systems, who are getting information from the Active Directory will have some lead time to know that they need to switch from getting information from the Active Directory, the Enterprise Directory, to go to the data of record, which would be Workday for employers or PeopleSoft for students and alumni. So it just gives them time to switch over. That's why we said January 10th. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying January 10th is like 30 days.
From now. Yeah. You could change the date.
I mean, that's what I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
If you should say like
February 10th. I think that's a valid point, actually, since I didn't realize it was a month away. Gosh, we're that close. Yeah.
You just said something that confused me, though. So is the intention by January 10th that systems are moving over? Because there's still all this effort to try to figure out what integrations are impacted and what systems are really involved?
No, no, no. So they, it still is. They're just a bunch of different systems we're talking about. So with the Active and Enterprise Directory, they still do display legal name at some junctures. There are some systems who pull information from that Active Directory. The folks at the Active Directory just want to put forth a communication to say, hey, be mindful, as of January 10th, we're not going to be displaying, thank you, we're not going to be displaying legal name anymore. We're only going to display preferred name. So if you want the legal name, if you still need legal name, not everybody will, but if you still need legal name, go to Workday or PeopleSoft. That's what they're saying. So that actually doesn't take that much time. They're just saying by not everybody has to be switched over by then. Saying by January 10th, that communication needs to be made.
So the communication has to be made. They have ongoing time to
do it. That's why we changed the rest of it to on an ongoing basis to do it. Sorry, I opened up a can of worms.
No worries. So I'm going to hold on. Are there any other clarifying questions on this? Otherwise, again, I'm being cognizant of time for us as well, too.
The only question I have is, being familiar with PeopleSoft, is table still an issue then with preferred name? Because that is a required...
Recommendation. The appendix covers all of that, yeah. That's what wasn't accepted, but that's what, yet, they're working on it. So. All right, Kevin, did you... No, sorry.
So that motion is still on the floor now. It was a call to question, so... we are voting to vote, if I remember right, at this point.
There's no dissent. You're just voting.
Yeah, there's no dissent. So there's no more discussion. So the resolution 4-6, I don't know my numbers. So, again, all those in favor of resolution 6, please raise your placards. And it's 1, 2, 3.
Sorry.
13. And I'm seeing 14.
Carrie.
Yep.
We got
Carrie. Oh, you have your placard.
All those opposed. I love that she has her placard there. Yeah. And anyone abstaining? Okay. By vote of 14-0-0, this resolution passes.
All right.
So with that, I'd like to call a hard stop to this meeting. Is there a motion to close the meeting? And then we'll move into executive session. Kevin, I see a second. And then any dissent to that? All right, so we'll move into executive session. Oh, the one last thing. I would just like to ask the guests if they could just introduce themselves for the record as well, too. So, sorry, it's official. We keep records now, too. So you'd just like to introduce your name and then your department would be great.
My name is Cyrus Hamilton, and I'm with Student Disability Services.
Excellent.
Alan Bishop, Human Resources.
Nate. Your guest.
That'll be you.
That's everyone, right?
Everybody.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I looked around the table. There is this. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. At this point in time, all those who are not voting members of the assembly, please be.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.